Today's episode of the Expedition to Soul podcast is the replay from our weekly coffee chat. Almost every week, I host a coffee chat for our community group on Sundays, and they are always so good. They're a mix of visioning for the week ahead and some epic, just magical thought work for everybody, and maybe even a little need to know about what's going on this week in the cosmos and whatever else comes through based on the community experience that we've been seeing in our community group. These are so great, and I'm excited to be bringing them to you as part of the podcast as we reach 1 million downloads. Can you even believe it? 1 million downloads of the Expedition to Soul podcast, formerly Magic on the Inside. Thank you if you've been listening since then. But for now, I'm going to go ahead, put in this week's coffee chat, and enjoy. If the word witch makes you feel full of power and excitement, if you love personal development but loathe boring love and light conversation, if a sexy combo of witchery and inner work piques your interest, you're in the right place. Welcome home, Magic Maker, and welcome to Expedition to Soul, the podcast brought to you by the Sisters Enchanted. And thank you all for hanging out with me today for our Sunday coffee chat. We're going to get right into this, try to keep us to about a half an hour, because you know how time, I think, is our most important, vital asset. And those of you who this is your first coffee chat or you're newer to the Sisters Enchanted, welcome in. I've been traveling and I'm happy to be home in my home space and my home desk and cozy with all of my things. All right, we're going to talk today about all the usual. The first few minutes, I'm going to remind you of taking control of your time and your energy for the week ahead. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about the astrological situation going down tomorrow and about Chiron and healing and fear and all that good stuff as you move ahead with your planning for the week. So with the coffee chats, as you know, I like to remind you to take some time, create this weekly space for yourself to set up for the week ahead. Make a ritual out of it. Make it part of your weekly rhythm and your cadence to sit down and vision for the next week. I think so many people have resistance to planning or like anything that really feels like it's locking you in, right? Or it's overwhelming to choose and prioritize. But when you sit down for the week ahead and you think, what do I want to do this week? What do I have to do this week? Where's my money going? What food am I eating? What am I doing with my body? How am I interacting and engaging in the relationships that are important to me and that I'm prioritizing? When we sit down and we do all of that, that's actually how we create freedom in our lives. All right. So either if you're doing this now, listening in, or you make time to do it later today, or like whatever day works for you. I love Sunday for this. I want you to pull out a calendar and think about everything that you have to do for the week ahead. So if you work, this would be work. If you have appointments, this would be your appointments. Anything that has a time to it that you cannot wiggle on. If you are a self-employed person or a side hustler, I know so many people in here have a side hustle, a second job, or are, you know, dipping their foot into some kind of self-employment or are self-employed. Look at that as a job. If you don't put it on the calendar, you won't work on it. So all of this time commitment, anything that has a start and a finish, put it on the calendar first. These are your immovable sorts of objects, right? They have to be on there. From there, I want you to consider what it is that you want to do in the next week. And remember to put your energetic hat on and think about how your energy is in a day. So if you're very high energy in the morning, your better bet to get things done that you want to do and prioritize is going to be to get up a little earlier and do those in the morning versus to try to do them later at night when you think you'll do it after people go to bed or you come home from work or like whatever your case is in your life, right? And if you're a night person, you know, the opposite for you. You will want to do those things at your highest energy point. So think about your energetic high and low points for a day. Once you have your have to do stuff on your calendar, what do you want to do? Now, for your want to do's, this could be things for yourself that you want to do. This could be an organizational home project or whatever. It could be time with a loved one. It could be like checking out a new restaurant or coffee shop or bookstore or whatever your thing is, right? These are your want to do's. Also maybe goals that you've set. I've got my keyboard back here, and that, like, if I wanted to practice playing piano, then I would put that on there at some point as well. From there, we want to look at your white space and make sure that you still have some white space left over for whatever just comes up. If you feel tired, if you want to go on an adventure, you have the room for that. When you do this for the week ahead, you can really start to understand what you have time for and what you don't have time for. So many people will set goals and set these like habits they want to have. They want to walk every day, and they also want to read a book every day, and they also want to connect with their family every day, and they also want to work on some creative project, and they also want to do X, Y, and Z and make home cooked meals. And once you start to really look at your calendar, you realize you cannot fit all of that in, which is why it's so important to ask yourself, how do I want to feel? Pull out your calendar for the week ahead, put in all those immovable objects, and then start to squeeze in what's important to you. And how are you going to make it happen, right? And then what needs to go? If there's not room for you to do the things that are important for you, this is where we start to lock our gears into place to make shifts in our life, to make space for the things that are important for us. All right. Now, the next part of this setup for the week ahead and your weekly visioning, I encourage you to look at your money. So I started these coffee chats with just your time. Then we added in your money. So the next part is going to be looking at your money. And I really encourage you to actually consider, where is your money going for the next week? Many people try to set budgets and really struggle with budgeting. I am one of those people. I have budgets. I've always struggled with trying to follow a budget, trying to track like what category does different money being spent go into. I find it very, it's not my natural way of being. But when I do look ahead and I ask myself, where do I want to spend money this week? What is important to me? What am I considering doing with myself? It really helps me to say, well, I want to buy all these things, but I also want to put money in the investment account this week. And I also know that like we need new tires on the car coming up here, right? And so when I forecast and look ahead at these things coming down the road, that can help me better understand where I'm spending money in alignment with how I want to live my life, right? And so just like we're forecasting and we're visioning for our time, we can do the same thing with our money. Now, the next layer to add in would be your body. If you don't feel great in your body, if you feel like you would love to be able to get on the floor and play with your grandkids or your children, or you'd love to be able to walk a mile in a park and feel really good doing it. Or if there's certain foods that really make your body feel yuck, but you keep eating them, this is a great time to also incorporate that. Looking ahead for the week ahead. What am I going to eat this week? How am I going to move my body this week? And where do I need to make time to make that happen? So these are the layers, your calendar and what you have to do, the things that are immovable. And we start there because if you work for one, that's taken up half your day, right? So that goes on there. Appointments, all these immovable things. And then we build We build our life around those with our time, what we're doing, how we're spending our energy, who we're spending that time with, how we're spending our money, and what we're doing with our bodies. And all of this helps to move us into alignment with where we want to be. And if it feels not possible, that's where we can start to say, all right, well, I've tried this for a couple of weeks and I just can't seem to get everything moving here. What has to change? And then we can start making changes from there. All right. All right. Let's see. Let me check in the comments before we move on to the next part. I know I rattled all that off in like a 10 minutes. It was really fast. But I feel very passionately about having this sacred weekly like setup time. And as a person who does a lot, my plate is very, very full. It's overflowing full. And I still have time to do lots of things that make me feel excited about life and about my life. And I can do that because of what I'm talking about here. And when I don't do this, when it falls by the wayside, I notice it very, very, very quickly, very quickly. So I'm really passionate about it. All right. Sharon is sharing, I'm a morning person. My family hates my energy in the morning. I get so much done before 9. Yeah, me too. I often feel like I live a whole life before most people are out of bed. But my husband's the opposite. He's a night person. And this is interesting. So now I've been when you start to think about your energy, one of the things I hear from people is I can't because of family members. That's often what I hear, whatever it is, like I can't because somebody in my life doesn't want to do the same thing. Therefore it makes it harder for me. And, you know, I get that. Like my husband and I are on completely different wavelengths most of the time, which makes things I want to do more challenging and it makes things he wants to do more challenging. But also understanding your energy and the energy of people that you share space with helps you to shift so that you can create time that works for both, for like different people in your household. But if you're being reactive all week long and you don't plan and recognize that, you can't get past the chaos and the confrontation that comes with the reactiveness, right? So when you know these things about people, it really helps to shift it. All right. And Shannon's sharing so many things that have to be done and want to do's, it's practically impossible to have it all done. Yeah, Shannon. So I'm a big proponent of this idea that you can only have, like, we just did this in the mastermind. We went through this. You can really only have 3 priorities at any point in time in your life. Like if you're retired or you work part-time or aren't working, by choice, like you don't have to or something, or you just have a lot of space in your life, maybe like 5, I would say. But if there's a person who works full time, that would probably take one of those priorities, thus only leaving 2 other ones. And I feel really passionately about that also, that I think that we can get this like wanting to do it all and realizing we can't do it all at one time. So what's the season that we're in right now? So for me right now, work is, I do work full time. Y'all see me I'm on camera a lot. I do work full time. So I work full time. And then also like my kids and spending time with them. I'm a homeschooler. So that's priority number 2. That leaves me 1 other priority. 1. So if I want to practice piano and I also want to make more home cooked meals and I also want to hike and travel, like I can't. There's not the space for it. And I will fail at one of those things. So figuring out even just for this week, what's the priority? What's that 3rd priority for this 1 week? And then focusing on that. And if there is free time, then squeezing things in around it or, you know, making choices based on what I know my next priority would be if I have the space. All right, let's see here. All right. Oh, I see this comment. Margot, it doesn't help. The healthy foods are so expensive. I will say, you all know I'm the tough love person here. Healthy foods are like spinach, broccoli, beans, and chicken. So those are some of the healthiest foods you can eat. And we're in a great season to start getting spinach and greens and broccoli from local farmers. And beans are always inexpensive. And chicken, look for a good sale. But if you're paying extra for packaged food that says organic on it, that is not healthy. That's my loving kick in the pants for today. Beans, broccoli, if you eat meat, chicken, spinach, those are your healthy foods. Some version of those. If you eat eggs, eggs are pretty healthy. But packaged like organic food is ridiculously priced and is often just as bad for you as all the other packaged food. So stick with your whole foods and it tends to be less expensive. All right, Jennifer, I just set a 2-year savings goal, broke it down monthly to reach that goal. Start this week. I love it, Jennifer. I love it. It's interesting how when we really stretch ourselves, how we can make things happen. I had a giant tax bill that I wasn't prepared for. I know me who's tries to be prepared for everything. And I am paying like a ridiculous amount of money every month to get it paid off really quickly. And if you had said to me like a month before that, do you have the money to pay for something at this cost? I would have said, no, there's no way. But then when I got the bill and I saw the interest, I was like, oh no, we're going to make it happen. We eat beans, chicken, broccoli, and spinach so that I could pay that off very, very quickly.
All right, let's see here. So some more morning people. Joanne does not rise and shine easily. All right, I'm going to skip on down here. Renee says we buy rotisserie chickens all the time, cheaper than uncooked whole chickens. Yes, that is a great, great one. Yeah, and slow cookers, Gia says. Yeah, chicken, broccoli, fruit, apples, all of those kinds of food. Those are your health foods, you know? Anything, there's a, it's a whole myth, like that, or because if it's like organic, it's healthy, right? But if you look at like the pack, like any organic, like granola bars, they have just as much sugar. Okay, I'm going on a, this is not what I'm here for. We're going to talk about fear, but this is my 30-second food hill I will die on. This is one of the hills I'll die on. There's a couple of them. This is one of them. In a yogurt, y'all, go to the store. If you buy a yogurt that has a fruit flavor in it, the added sugar is often the same amount, like a Yoplait, as the as buying a chocolate frosted donut through like Dunkin' Donuts or like at the store. The added sugar in a like a plain cake donut with chocolate frosting, it's the same amount of added sugar as is in a yogurt if you buy a fruit flavored yogurt. So if you are on a health, if you are on a health thing in your life and you're like, oh, but yogurt's expensive, organic foods are expensive, if you read, if it has a nutrition label on it, they're probably not healthy. There's nothing healthy about them. Cereal is not healthy. None of those are healthy. Jessica says, I buy the Greek yogurts. Check if you're buying anyone with flavor and sweetener. Some of those Oikos Greek protein yogurts have, they have stevia in them now, which takes the extra, like those extra grams of sugar out. But yeah, so I'm not a nutritionist by any means, nor am I the healthiest person alive, but sugar is a hill I will die on. And I do eat sugar. I love cake, but if I'm going to eat sugar, I'm going to go buy like a delicious French pastry for $8. And I'm not going to eat a yogurt that I could go have a piece of delicious carrot cake for the same amount of sugar. Like I'm going to go eat that instead. So anyway, check your sugar amounts, particularly if you're a person who is on a, like you're on a journey to feel better in your body, like type 2 diabetes, working on that, any of those kinds of things. And you're eating food that you think is healthy. Look at the sugar on the labels, y'all. Check it out. Cause there's so much sugar in foods that are like, look healthy and they're just full of sugar. All right. There you go. There you go. So check it out. Yeah. So many comments here about unprocessing your diet for sure. Chicken. And I got young kids who have, you know, are on the autism spectrum and food issues and things like that, and will only eat certain things sometimes. So I get it. Like I get the hardships when it comes to food, but it is a hill I will die on. So there you go. Think about this week, your time, your money, your, what you're doing with your body. Think about all of it and put it all on the calendar, right? It's like the vision for the week ahead. Vision for the week ahead. Okay. So let's talk real quick here about the astrology for tomorrow and this new moon and the solar eclipse. But the part that I really want to bring up for you, I got to get my notes so I don't miss all the facts. So tomorrow we are going to have Chiron. I can't even read my notes now. I can't even read my own handwriting. Chiron, Mercury, the Sun, the Moon, and Venus are all in Aries. So Chiron, Mercury, the Sun, the Moon, and Venus, and Mercury's retrograde, as y'all probably know. So the interesting thing though about tomorrow, because they're all in Aries right now also. Did I say something's in Venus? Anyway, they're all in Aries. They're all in Aries right now. But tomorrow, within a few minutes of the new moon and the eclipse happening and whatnot, the Chiron will be in the same, like within 1 degree of the Sun and the Moon in Aries also. So that's called being conjunct, and they're all going to be like tight together, the Sun, the Moon, and Chiron. So Chiron, if you don't know, and remember Mercury's retrograde, right? And we also got Goddess Venus hanging out there too. So Chiron is the wounded healer. If you are a person who, if you're a person who's Christian, you got a lot of Christians in the house. If you're a person who just loves to think on like different stories and energies, Chiron's a very Christ consciousness energy. It is the dying for a cause, right? And then becoming sort of immortal after that. It is being wounded where you can't heal yourself and then learning the lessons from that. So Chiron is the wounded healer. With Chiron, our emotions and our past stories can bubble up to such a point that it feels like we just cannot heal them. And often we can help heal these things in other people, but not ourselves. So if you don't know where your Chiron is in astrology, you can look up yours. Mine's in Gemini in the 12th house. So you can find your Chiron. But more importantly, for tomorrow, with this new moon and with Aries, Aries is this like battering ram, get it done, move forward sort of energy. When we look at the three fire signs, I love this kind of visualization. I think Anna taught it to me actually, or somebody here said it, and then I latched onto it. Our fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. So Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. If you have these three fire signs and they're staring at a forest and they need to get to the other side, Aries is going to burn the forest down to get to the other side. Aries is just like, burn it down. I'm going to get there, right? Leo is going to transform into that lion and like run through it, and it could be dangerous and they're going to exhaust some energy, but they're with confidence going to move right through it. Sagittarius, they're going to look for the path of least resistance, like climb a tree, shoot an arrow, and zip line over the forest to get to the other side. All three fire signs are going to do what it takes to get to the other side, but they're going to have different levels of like damage along the way. And Aries is that first one that is going to burn everything down. So we have this like burn it down, this move through it sort of energy, right? This move through it sort of energy. And we have Chiron there with the sun and the moon. So with this new moon that's happening tomorrow, like we're already in the momentous energy of it moving there, really understand what emotional wounds or what deep rooted stories keep showing up for you in life. And how can you really visualize a different way for you to move forward? How can you consider a different way to process those emotions, a different way of being? It's a beautiful time to really think about your deep, deep, deep soul wounds, how they contribute to your life, and how you want to feel, and how you want to feel moving forward. And what do you need to do to heal that so you can feel the way you want to feel? And with Mercury in retrograde, you might have in Aries been, if any stories have been coming up for you recently, like just yesterday, I heard some information in my life and about something from the past, and I was like it brought it front and center to right now, right? And then I felt a certain way about it. Like I felt this visceral kind of wanting to like speak my truth, speak my peace, shake things up, let someone know about it. And I realized how unhelpful that would be. And that's something that comes up for me often when I feel like I haven't been heard, or I've been misunderstood, or like rejected, or I'm going to be rejected. I will get this like, I don't know. It's almost like maybe some of you can relate to this. Like my brain starts to write a script of all the things I could tell the whole world about how I was wronged and I didn't, or like I was misunderstood. So for me, it's a big wound and it's come up my entire life. So it's really interesting that just yesterday something happened that brought that same feeling up for me that I haven't felt in a while. So for this new moon, it might be a really good time for me to consider that and say like, well, where does that soul wound come from? Where is there a story that I have yet to really acknowledge and look head on? And what can I use this like burn it down Aries energy to move through it. This full moon for this lunar cycle is in Scorpio, which is also transformative. So when you set your intention with this Chiron and Aries new moon situation that's happening tomorrow, and then a couple weeks from now, when you look back and say, well, did I take action on how I wanted to feel or what I said I was going to do? And we have more of that transformative energy to really help you take the dust, the rubble that you haven't yet moved through, and then transform it at the full moon. So it's a really cool lunar cycle. It's a really cool lunar cycle. And it's really cool that that Chiron is right there too with the moon and the sun. And then of course the Mercury retrograde in Aries at the same time, which I think is this gift to, you know, Mercury retrograde is such a bugger. I got to tell you, we were driving home from Florida to Connecticut over the last 2 days. I just got home yesterday, and y'all, I'm sure you heard about the bridge in Maryland and the, you know, the cargo ship that ran into it, knocked the bridge down. Our GPS, we had a trailer because we trailer my car down behind our truck. And so we have a GPS that is for trailers because we also have an RV, a camper that we tow, and we haven't updated it though yet this year. And it took us right for the bridge that had been knocked down. And then we had to get off and drive like a long way around on all these back roads in downtown Baltimore, which is like not the best place to drive with a trailer. And it was an ordeal. And I was like, Mercury retrograde strikes again. But with Mercury retrograde, often we come to these situations that really shake things up for us. And they put us in like a sort of chaos, kind of panic, I don't know what to do, overwhelmed energy. And it's such a gift right now, though, because you can feel those feelings and you feel all the emotions for reasons. Like, it's important to have these spectrum of emotion. So look at what has been stirring up for you, what's been feeling uncomfortable, and then let this Chiron new moon situation help you look at the wound and then understand what you can do to heal it. And sometimes we can't heal wounds, like they're just unhealable. So then which might sound weird to say, like to be like, oh, actually some things you're just not going to heal in this lifetime. And that might be very true. And now might not be the time either to heal the wound. And in which case, how do we transform our relationship to the wound? So if there's some wound that is really taking power over your confidence, or like you're afraid to put yourself out there for some reason, or you're afraid to rock a boat in some area for some reason, and there's like a wound attached to it, maybe it's not about healing the wound, but it could be about reframing your relationship with it, or just giving it a different seat on your bus, yeah, at your table, right? If you've been letting it sit next to you in the passenger seat, maybe you can just like put it in the back. Maybe you can put it on the roof, strap it to the roof. I don't know. Like, maybe you just reorient it. And it's not necessarily about the healing, but the awareness and moving it within your energy. So that when you see it, you're like, okay, I see you there. I see you. I'm going to move you, and I'm going to consciously place my confidence or my, you know, my whatever in closer to me. I'm going to move you back this wound. And that can be what it is too. It might not have to be about healing it. It can be just about awareness around it, but it's a beautiful time to do that. So as you look ahead for your week and you start to think to yourself, what do I want to do? How do I want to feel? How am I going to live my life this week? How am I going to have energy exchanges with time, relationships, money, food? Like, this is all energy exchange. You put food in your body, that's an energy exchange. You move your body, it's an energy exchange. You spend time with people, that's an energy exchange. You spend money, it's an energy exchange. Everything is an energy exchange. So how are you exchanging your energy this week? What are you bringing in with the energy you put out there in the world? What does that look like? And where can you let all of this energy of tomorrow help you, like, really push through some level of resistance or fear, or like a wound that then presents as fear because you don't want to feel the wound? How can you burn the path forward so that you can, you know, be in a different place just a few months from now, because all these wounds really, they come through like fear. Because you don't want to feel the wound again. So you're afraid to feel the wound, and then you don't do the thing that could make you feel the way you don't want to feel. So you like avoid it at all costs, right? You avoid it at all costs. All right. Let me just check in here and see if there's anything going on here. Yeah, just some comments like scar tissue. Yeah, like it's still there, right? It's still there. All right, then. So I'm going to leave you all here for now. I got a full day of Zoom calls ahead of me, so I'm going to go get some water before I buckle down for some things. But as your final reminder, take out your calendar. There's so much resistance to taking control of your week ahead, and it can feel like you don't want to put too many things on the calendar because then you feel restricted. But really, knowing what you're doing gives you so much freedom. So if you want time to do whatever it is you want to do, put in on the calendar the things that have to happen so that you know how much time you have and you can prioritize the things that matter most and not feel like you're being reactive every day and never got to the thing that mattered most to you because you were so busy just like picking whatever thing came around. Same with money and with food. Put it on there, and it might take you a couple of weeks to get in the habit of like following it, but if you keep doing it over and over and over again, eventually you will fall into place with it, or at least take little bits of it. And then, yeah, these wounds that you can't heal, it might not be about healing them, but when you want to just avoid them, that becomes fear of doing something unknown or something different or acting or having confidence or speaking your truth. So let that Aries energy just like, this is not the time maybe for the Sagittarius soaring over it. It's time for the Aries burn down. It is time for the Aries burn down. Bring some of that in. My husband's birthday is on Wednesday, and he is not an astrology guy. He's not like a witchy woo person. And all of my being is like, I wish you knew what a good week it was to have a birthday. I wish you cared. Alas, he doesn't. So I'll just have to care for him, I suppose. All right, y'all, if you're in holistic witchery and you're coming to class at 11 o'clock, I will see you in a half an hour. And I hope that you all have a great day. And I'll see you next week for the next coffee chat. All right. I'll see y'all later. If you love the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. That helps us to get the word out about all we're doing here at the Sisters Enchanted. Thanks for being part of our community, and we'll see you in the next episode.